Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I've been hearing about the lottery. 1.5 billion? That almost make the most devoted Christian into a store somewhere. But kept hearing about it, then those three people won, if I heard right. About that time, somebody texted me and said, "Is gambling wrong?" And I thought, man alive, here's somebody asking me to answer that question in a text. And I looked, and a few minutes had about four pages of notes, and they texted me again, like I hadn't responded quick enough, and I told them, I said, "I got too much to send by text." And honestly, I prayed, and I want to try and deal with that subject this evening. Kind of strange subject, but I thought about it. I've said this before. My job as a pastor, as a preacher, is to take this Bible and the best I can tell us what it says, directly and indirectly. And even though this may not be the subject that we'd love to have on a Sunday night, I believe it's what the Lord wants us to have on a Sunday night. I'll be honest, I do not know anybody's opinion about this for the most part. I probably could guess, there's some that I know enough to probably where I could kind of guess what you think about it. But for the most part, I could not tell you what your answer is and what you think about gambling. So I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just, I think, telling what the Bible says as far as the principles of Scripture. So let's just jump in. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver." Boy, that's true. You ever got something new, and when you got it, there's almost a letdown? You were so excited about getting the new thing, device, car, house, whatever, trinket. And when you got it, it just didn't satisfy. As soon as you, say a car, you get that new car and ride down the road and you see one, boy, I sure would like to have that. Silver does not satisfy. It doesn't matter what we get, we want more. That's the human nature. The Lord knows that. "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." It's empty. Trying to find contentment in things is a dead-end road. "When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes?" It's kind of like when Achan stole the Babylonian garments and the gold. He had to hide it in his tent. He could go at night and kind of sneak around and look at it. Didn't do him a bit of good, just look at it. But the thought of these verses is the fact that no matter what we have, it isn't enough. We always want more, and that's where the idea of gambling is. The danger of riches. The more we have, the more we want. Anybody knows that? It doesn't matter if you got $10 or $10 million. It is never enough. That's what those that design gambling hope for and base their industry on. That somebody, even though they may win, they want more. One more roll of the dice, one more spin of the wheel, one more try. They don't realize it, but they know the facts of these scriptures in that this person, this individual, this flesh is never satisfied. We need to be careful to not base our love and our desire on things that we know will not satisfy. There's no better example. I believe this. I believe it with all my heart. There's no better example of enough not being enough, or what you have not being enough, than the gambling industry. Now, there's no doubt in this Bible, there's no "thou shalt not gamble" verse. If we're looking for that, we'll look in vain, but there are principles we can go by. And I am convinced that these principles of Scripture at least put a negative light upon gambling. I do know this. About 86% of Americans have admitted to gambling in some way. And you say, well, that's no big deal. Well, 86%. That's almost everybody. There must be something to it. In 2013, Americans lost $19 billion to gambling. And that's not that they risked something and gained a little bit back. That $19 billion is what they lost completely. Sounds to me like the gambling industry's got it pretty well figured out. In 2015, Americans lost $70 billion to the lottery alone. Sounds like they're ahead. I will say this, just because it's legal in most states does not mean it's okay. It is legal for me to go to the liquor store tonight, but it ain't right. I want to say first the definition of gambling. What is it? What is gambling? It's to bet on an uncertain outcome, to place something, money or some type of thing, to place it to bet on something that has an uncertain outcome. You don't know which way it's going to go, good or bad. It's to play a game of chance for some type of stakes. It's to take a risk in the hope of gaining an advantage or a benefit. It's putting up money or goods for a chance to get more in return. That's what gambling is. You don't need me to go through all the examples of what it could be. They're various and sundry. What is gambling? All those things I mentioned, but what isn't it? Well, it's not putting money in a bank hoping that it'll build up interest. That is risky. But you're not... If you put it in a bank and a savings account and hoping it'll gain interest, you're not losing. You're not gambling it. You're just hoping for an increase because the bank promises it. There's no risk involved. What isn't gambling? Investing in bonds and stocks. And somebody may say, "Well, why is that not gambling?" Well, if you own stocks, you're a part of the company. There is risk involved. You can lose your shirt in stocks. There's no doubt about that. If you own a stock, you own a part of a company. There's no different than you and a friend saying, let's start a donut shop. And you go in and half and half, and you start that business, and you split everything down the middle. You split the expenses. You split the income, the benefit, the increase. And there's risk involved, but you are a part of an owner. And that's, even though it's risky, would not be considered gambling because you're part owner, and so it is with stocks, and you're a part owner. Insurance is not a gamble because you're not buying something in hope of getting something more back. You are literally buying protection. You are buying... what you need in case of an emergency to repay what you lose. You're buying protection for a loss. But you're, even though there's some risk involved, you're not gambling contests. Somebody asked me, what about these contests where they send you things in the mail and you're the one that's going to win and you don't have to buy anything. All you do is send it in. No, that's not gambling because you're not investing anything. Well, the definition of gambling is putting something up in hope of getting more. That's the bottom line. Could I mention not only the definition of gambling, but the danger of gambling? All you got to do is look at a casino and look at the gambling organizations. It doesn't take but a split second to realize they're making money somehow. They're making money by those who gamble. So that means they're designed for you to lose. They are designed for you to lose. And you know what? People lose. That's why there's a multi-million dollar casino with all the lights and all the spectacular things. Boy, just amazing. I'm going by pictures and TV. I've never been in one of them in my life. But somebody lost for them to be able to build that. And that's a danger of gambling. It is designed for you to lose. The odds are against you. Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, somebody wins. And sometimes people win big, but there's a whole lot of people who don't win. There's a whole lot more that lose. I read this, it's sort of sad, but it's true. The average gambler of today makes about $13,000 a year or less. Poverty. And the reason is they think, I can get a lot for nothing. And most of them, by average, they spend 9% of their income. 9% of $13,000 on something that just will pour down the drain. That's the danger of gambling. Everybody wants to be rich. Everybody wants to get something for nothing. Somebody might say, and by the way, somebody did tell me, I got the money. If I lose a little bit, it doesn't hurt me. Well, that does not exclude the fact that gambling is connected to a worldly system. If somebody does win big, it's still connected to a worldly system. I'm talking about the danger of gambling. Gambling is designed for you to lose. Gambling is detrimental to society as a whole. Go to the places where they have gambling on a regular basis, and you go around. Go outside of those lights. Go a couple of blocks over and you find the homeless people and you find the people who are doing without. And I know you can find that everywhere in every city. You can find that in Thomasville. But I want to tell you, it's worse in those places where the gambling is so prevalent. It's detrimental on society. It brings poverty and crime and child neglect and higher taxes and foreclosures and bankruptcy and alcohol and drug abuse and suicide and on and on and on and on. All of society is harmed because of this thing called gambling. And gambling can be addictive. There are some who can't just put a few coins in. Boy, I couldn't. Man, I'm telling you, I'd throw everything I owned away because I don't believe in luck, but if there is such a thing as luck, I don't have any. I would lose everything, but I'm thinking, boy, one more nickel. I would know. I would be addicted to it. In 2010, as many as 20 million people in America admitted that they had gambling problems, some of them full-blown addiction. It is out of their control. They have lost control of their senses and their ability to say no. That's again the danger of gambling. It is a dangerous thing. Do you know that the biggest age group that are increasing as far as gambling? Senior citizens. I had just read the other day that the busiest days in casinos is the third and the fourth day of each month. Well, anybody knows, if you're old enough to know anything, you're old enough to know, that's when Social Security checks come. And the biggest increase in gambling is with senior citizens, people who don't have the money to spare, but somebody who's wanting to get something for nothing. Gambling damages the spiritual part of man. That's why I started with the verse. I said, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Those things will not satisfy what you need inside. Nothing in this world satisfies. No matter how much we get, it will not be enough. No matter how much we get, we will not be satisfied. Gambling damages the spiritual man. Turns the heart toward the things of the world. I mean, that's just it, pure and simple. And the love for money corrupts. 1 Timothy 6:9-10. But they that will be rich. Oh, I just got to make it big. I just got to get rich. I got to get more. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. And to many a foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. for which some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I've said gambling can be detrimental, will be detrimental to the spiritual man. It does something to the spiritual part of man when somebody wants more. And the Bible warns us that there's been many that have been strayed from the faith because of the love of money. It's a damaging thing. It's a detrimental thing. I've tried to mention the definition and the danger of gambling. Let me move on. The disgrace of gambling. I guess you knew where I was going when I started, didn't you? I've been standing here a whole, I don't know how long, saying pretty much negative stuff about it, but what are the negative effects of gambling? First, gambling violates God's principles. If you have noticed, I have not read a do not gambling verse. It is not in there. But as I said already, this Bible, it has principles we are to go by. And these principles guide us in how we're to live and what we're to do and what we're not to do. And gambling violates God's principles. One of those principles is this: working to make money. That's God's principle. If you doubt that, ask Adam and Eve. Even before they sinned, God said, you keep the garden. There's a job I want you to do. And after the sin, he said, you will work by the sweat of your brow. And that's still true today. His primary principle of us getting things is working for it. And it used to be a common thing in this country before, I guess, the 60s, I don't know, where people thought, as you owe me something, and they got to hand out to everybody. There used to be not just Christians, but the common people thought, you earn what you make. You're not a charity case. You don't beg unless you have to. And because you've done everything you can and you can't help but ask. And that's a biblical principle. Gambling violates God's principles, his principle of us making money by working. Ecclesiastes 3:13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. He said, it is God's gift. He has given you strength to go and labor and get your money to provide for yourself. It is God's gift. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that ye may study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. The Bible has a principle that we get what we need to provide for ourselves by working. The gambling industry doesn't think that. They say you can get rich easy. The Bible teaches there's some people who used to steal, and that's how they made their living, but now they got right, and he does not say just stop stealing. He goes further. Listen to this verse, Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more. I understand that. He used to steal, but he's right with God now. Stop stealing, but he doesn't stop there. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You hear what he's saying? Stop stealing, because you're right with God, but don't stop there. Work and get what you need, and work enough to where you can give somebody else something too. That's a biblical principle. I'm talking about the disgrace of gambling. It violates God's principles. The principle of making money by working. The principle of a Christian is to trust God for their finances. I could mention so many verses, you get weary hearing them. We are told in Scripture to trust the Lord to provide our need. To trust Him. To trust Him. And gambling violates that principle that cannot be discarded or ignored or rejected without consequences. Gambling violates the principle in Scripture that says a Christian is to be a good steward. You know what? The car's not mine. The house on Dine Avenue is not mine. These clothes aren't mine. This tie's not mine. The Lord lent them to me. It belongs to Him. My paycheck, what's in the bank, all $3 and whatever cents, it is His. And I'm to be a good steward of it. I'm to use it in a way that would please Him. Proverbs 27:23. Be ye diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. He said, what you've got, you take care of, because they don't belong to you. They belong to Him. Matthew 6:19-20. I won't read it all. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures into heaven. There's a principle that this world is not to be controlling us. And there's a principle that what I have is not mine, it's His. It isn't my money, it's His. It isn't my stuff, it's His. And we're to use His money and His possessions in a way that honors Him. Did you hear what I said? We're to use what He's lent us in a way that would honor Him. Every bit of it. We are to use what He's given us in a way that would honor Him. We're to use our money, again I say our money, to where we understand it, to provide for our family and to provide for ourselves. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We love that verse sometimes. But it says, I'm to use the strength that God gives me to gain the finances that's needed to provide for me and my family. And that's what He's established in Scripture. We're to use money first to give to Him. We're to use money, secondly, to provide for our needs and our family. We're to use the money that He's given us, thirdly, to help others, to give to people. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole, I said the same verse again, him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that the things that which are good, that he may have to give him that needeth. He said, you work with your hands to get what you need, that you may have a little extra to give somebody else. That's a Bible principle. It's not a quick fix, a get quick fix. It's not a give part of what he owns and what he's lent me to where I can get more. I'll say this and I'll move on. Gambling preys on the poor. There's more poor people gambling. And when somebody wins the lottery or a casino, they are getting what they've gotten off the backs of poor people. There's just no way to look at it other than that. Let me close with these thoughts. Some questions we should ask ourselves about gambling. Number one, does it exalt? Can we say gambling exalts the Lord? No doubt about it, our lives should be a representation of exalting Him. In other words, every part of our life should be lived, everything we say, everything we do, everything we refuse to do should be done in a way that we exalt Him. Now, if we can go and gamble and exalt Him, number one, ain't gonna give us that, because we can't. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 10:31, the last part of the verse, whatsoever ye do, I reckon he meant that. Whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. He really said that. Everything we do, we're to do to the glory of God. I have difficulty in thinking that we can gamble to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, what you say or what you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm saying, does it exalt the Lord? By my doing it, is it exalting Him? Does it bring glory to God? Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Can we do that in gambling? gambling puts an emphasis on finances and things instead of God. Anything, if that statement's true, that ought to be all we need to make our decision about whether gambling's right or not. It takes our emphasis off of God and puts it on things. It displays a dissatisfaction at what God has given us. I'm wanting more. What He's given me is not enough. And that's unscriptural, unspiritual at the least. We should be content with what God has given us. Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his men servant, nor his maid servant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. In other words, don't want anything that God hasn't given you. Does it exalt? Does gambling exalt the Lord? Number two, does it edify? Does it build us up? Edify means to build up, to strengthen, to make more spiritual, make us more like God. Does gambling build us up spiritually? 2 Corinthians 12:19. We do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Do you know what Paul would do, bless his heart? They would sell meat that had been offered to idols at the markets. And Paul had sense enough to know that those idols were nothing. And that meat was good meat at a good price. And there was absolutely nothing wrong with buying that meat needed, and God said it was okay. But Paul said, if me going and buying that meat will offend one person, I'll never buy it again. I'll never take one bite of it. He said, what they think of me and my God is more important than me getting a good deal. And he said, it's nothing wrong with it. And them thinking it's wrong is them being weak. But I'll not do it. That's the kind of love we should have for others. Does it exalt? Does it edify? Does it exemplify? Exemplify means to be an example. Going to those places, buying that card, whatever you have to do, is that a good example of Christianity? If somebody saw you that was lost, could they say, boy, that person loves the Lord? And I don't know who does what. I don't have any idea, but I don't know how to preach other than just preach. I mean, I just say it. I don't know what anybody does. I don't have any idea. I couldn't guess if I had to and be right. But I know this, whatever we do or whatever we say ought to be an example of Christianity. I said it this morning in the class. Paul said to Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. Be an example where somebody could follow you and do what you do and please God in the process. I'll say this in closing, and I'm very glad about it myself. If I knew that somebody was trying to make a contribution to this church that came from a lottery or came from gambling, if they got an increase and they thought, well, it's only right to pay our tithes or give money, I wouldn't accept it as the pastor of this church. I don't think the Lord's building His church off of proceeds from gambling. I just don't think the Lord is pleased with that. If I knowingly knew it, I'd just say, just put it somewhere else. Give it to somebody who takes care of stray dogs or something. Because I just believe that it's something that's detrimental to us and harmful. I honestly couldn't tell you why the Lord put this on my heart, but I believe He did. I got another message right here. I'd love to preach to it. It's a whole lot nicer. But I asked Him again this afternoon. I asked Him again a few minutes ago. And I believe this is what He's put on my heart. I've got some notes here I'm going to put in the back. You can get everything I've covered tonight if you want them. Maybe you can give them to somebody else or start your fire in the house with them or something. I want to end by saying this. The Lord sure has been good to us. And whatever He asks of us is not too much. I don't know what your opinion is. Most of you, I could not guess. But I know this. Our lives should be an example of Christianity. There's somebody watching Somebody told me not long ago, one of my good preacher friends, they saw him buying a lottery ticket. I promise you he didn't know he was seen. I promise you he didn't know. Maybe he don't care. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about it, but I know this. For a preacher, it sure wasn't a good example. And the devil will have somebody there to see us. He's looking for anything he can use. In these last days, and just like Peggy sang in the song, Lori also, boy, we don't know when he's coming. And when he comes, I want to be doing something that's pleasing to him.